With Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
You know, if I could spend one afternoon with any person who lived during my lifetime, it would be with Sir Winston Churchill. He had a pitiful start in life. He was born premature, and he was a weak and sickly boy with a speech impediment. He received virtually no affection from his parents, and he was at best a mediocre student in school. He had more failures than successes in his political career, but his persistence paid off. He eventually became Prime Minister of Britain. Until then, the media had ridiculed him because of his opposition to Adolf Hitler. What I admire most about Winston Churchill is his dogged determination to persevere. His first speech as Prime Minister to the House of Commons on May 10, 1940 is legendary. He said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. You ask what is our policy? I say it is to wage war by land, sea, and air. What is our aim? I can answer in one word, victory. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival." In time, Churchill helped England and the other allies to achieve that victory. Perhaps Winston Churchill's legacy will encourage you in the midst of your battles today. His words continue to encourage. Never, never, never give up.
Welcome to Family Talk.
Every day on the news, we hear evidence of the cultural decline plaguing our nation. On today's edition of Family Talk, Ronnie Floyd urges us to not sit back and watch, but to get involved in reviving this great land. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and today we're sharing a message delivered by Ronnie Floyd, president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Ronnie Floyd has been a pastor for over 38 years and is an author and international speaker. Today, we'll hear his presidential address given to the 2015 Southern Baptist Convention. This powerful and timely message is a call to arms for all Christians as he reminds us that battles are not won by retreat or submission.
Well, that's certainly true, Dr. Meeker, and we are in a culture war. I've been saying that for about 30 years, and believers everywhere need to get on the battlefield and call out in prayer for this nation and for the world, because we are losing that battle now, step by step. That's why I'm excited to share a broadcast with you today. It was delivered by a very good friend of mine, a man I respect very highly, Dr. Ronnie Floyd. He cuts right to the heart of the matter. And he was addressing the Southern Baptist Convention, his own colleagues. But his comments are really of great significance to all Bible-believing Christians. We are facing immense challenges in our families now and in our nation. The New York Times columnist Roger Cohen called this crisis the Great Unraveling. I think that's very apt. And Reverend Ronnie Floyd says this is no time to surrender. This is a time to fight. This is a time to pray. Because when we pray, Jesus opens doors that no one can shut. In a blockbuster movie called War Room, I hope you've seen that. Shirley and I watched it, and it's outstanding. The prayer warrior is Miss Clara, and she tells the young wife, victories don't just happen. We have to be intentional, and we have to be committed to battle for the soul of the nation, for the soul of our kids. And this is what Dr. Ronnie Floyd is calling us to do in the message that you're going to hear. Let's listen to the first half of this presidential address given to a convention in June of this year. And I pray that your hearts will be stirred by what Dr. Floyd has to say. I'm James Dobson, and this is Family Talk.
June the 13th, 1979, Dr. Billy Graham spoke to 48,000 Southern Baptists in Houston, Texas. And he said, God is not calling us tonight to a playground or a sports arena. He is calling us to a battleground. This was the public launching of Bold Mission Thrust, the vision to share the gospel with every person in the world by the year 2000. What Graham called a magnificent obsession, the retiring president of the Foreign Mission Board, Dr. Baker James Cawthon, stated, no matter what the cost, this worldwide mission thrust must be our priority. It was at that same convention, the 15,760 messengers elected Dr. Adrian Rogers as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. His election became the catalytic moment that launched us into the conservative resurgence. Only 6 years later, in 1985 in Dallas, Texas, over 45,000 registered messengers gathered in the midst of the most intense battle for the Bible. It was 30 years ago this summer that one of the highest moments in our history occurred on Monday night at the pastors' conference when Dr. W.A. Criswell preached the epic message, Whether We Live or Die. He proclaimed only as he could, whether we live or ultimately die lies in our dedication to the infallible Word of God. He went on to say in his concluding remarks, no battle was ever won by retreat or submission or surrender. Historically, Southern Baptists have been willing to go to battle for two major things, the propagation of the gospel to the world and a perpetual commitment to the infallibility and inerrancy of the Bible. Even in 1922, when Southern Baptist President E.Y. Mullins addressed our convention, his opening sentence was, Southern Baptist has come to one of our supreme hours in their history. I really believe that if the 59 presidents who have preceded me could speak to us in this hour on June the 16th, 2015, in Columbus, Ohio, they would declare to us that we are living right now in our most defining hour as Southern Baptists. As Romans 13:11 tells us, this is a kairos moment, truly a decisive moment, an undeniable moment and season fixed by a sovereign God as a true moment of destiny. We are not entering into a playground, but a battleground. We are in spiritual warfare. And this is not a time for Southern Baptists to shrink back in timidity or fearfulness or be paralyzed with uncertainty. This is certainly not the time to retreat. The alarm clock is going off in our nation and across the world. This is not the time to push the snooze button. Crises abound, the need is great, the hour is late, and now is the time to lead. It is with deep conviction and a great sense of urgency that I come to you humbly today, and I want to speak to you, appealing to you on the following subject. Now is the time to lead. Leadership is missing in action today. Leaders are born in the midst of crisis. Crises abound everywhere. In the New York Times op-ed columnist Roger Cohen called the crisis we face the great unraveling. When the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, David Cameron, spoke to the United Nations about the threat of ISIS, The Guardian quoted him as saying, we must not be so frozen with fear that we don't do anything at all. Sadly, we are seeing the savagery of ISIS advance, resulting in thousands of men, women, and children being beheaded, crucified, raped, or sold into the ever-growing human trafficking industry while millions of others are being displaced from their homes. Simultaneously, we see American pastor Saeed Abedini still imprisoned in Iran, which is absolutely wrong and unacceptable in every way. As well, the evil of Boko Haram and the ruthless persecution against Christians by some governments of the world are occurring. Open Doors USA states that the persecution of Christians reaches historic levels. Approximately 100 million Christians are being persecuted globally. Perhaps Wall Street Journal's columnist Peggy Noonan is correct when she writes, "We are adrift on denial. Now is the time to lead." Dietrich Bonhoeffer was right when he said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act. Now is the time to lead." If this is not enough, 153 million orphans remain. One-seventh of the world lives in extreme poverty. 750 million people lack access to clean water, and natural disasters continue to occur. All of this while the global economy hangs in the balance. The world is not only dangerous, but it's also living without hope. Now is the time to lead. Back at home in America, we are over $18 trillion in debt and living on the edge financially. It is also reported that over 43 million Americans live in poverty. The decay of the family continues. Only 46% of the children in our nation are living in a home with two married heterosexual parents who are still in their first marriage. Additionally, our hearts break at the sad state of racism and prejudice in our own nation. The New York Times reported 61% of Americans now say that race relations in this country are generally bad. Tensions and conflict abound. I call upon all Christian leaders today, all Christ followers today, and all churches today, regardless of the color of their skin, to decry all racism and prejudice, denouncing it as sin against God and sin against one another. And I submit to you today, now is the time to lead. Amen. Due to a 1973 ruling of the Supreme Court of the United States, in the last 42 years, our nation has aborted an estimated 57 million babies. Can you imagine 57 million children losing their lives due to one Supreme Court decision? Even though reports state that abortion rates are down some, we do not need to become content in or callous to this deplorable issue. Amen. How many is 57 million babies? 57 million babies is like destroying and taking the lives of the entire population of both California and New York. Now is the time to lead. Amen. And now we await the outcome of the next possible Supreme Court ruling that could alter not only our nation's belief and practice on traditional and biblical marriage, but also our historic commitment to religious liberty for all people. This could be a watershed moment in our history, possibly changing the trajectory of our nation unlike anything we've seen since 1973 in the Roe versus Wade decision. This decision could add fuel, more fuel, to the already sweeping wildfire of the sexual revolution and move it beyond anyone's control, locally, statewide, nationally, and globally. And I say to you again today, Southern Baptists, now is the time to lead. While all these things are occurring nationally and globally, back at the church, many of our churches sleep. Most of our churches fight. At times, the fellowship within our own Southern Baptist family is due to a mindset that believes that combat against one another is some valiant spiritualized effort. We need to be careful not to chase after secondary matters that end up in the weeds of suspicion, skepticism, criticism, and cynicism about one another. We need to refuse these as carnal actions. This is not leadership. In fact, it forfeits leadership. Pastors and Christian leaders and all Christ followers are not exempt from loving one another unconditionally and operating relationally by the biblical principles in Matthew 18.
Amen.
I want to say to you today, we need to love one another and all people just as Jesus loved all people. Amen. Now is the time to lead.
Amen.
In short, anywhere you look, there are crises. We live in a broken, fragmented, fragile world, and our churches must rise to this moment, ministering in love and compassion for all people unconditionally. But with every crisis, there is an opportunity. There is an open door. The final book of Holy Scripture is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In chapters 2 and 3, we read Jesus' words to seven different churches. And only two of these seven churches received commendation without any rebuke at all. One was Smyrna, and the other was Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia was a city known for two things. It was the gateway to the east because it had the pass that would serve as the open path to cross the mountains in modern-day Turkey. It was also subject to earthquakes and repeated aftershocks. The city was also filled with Jews. But once any Jew became a follower of Christ, they were ostracized and condemned by the synagogue. Followers of Jesus became opposed fiercely. Yet in the midst of it all, God was sovereign, Jesus was Lord, and the doors were open for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3, 7 and 8, which is my text today, write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close and closes and no one opens, says, I know your works, because you have limited faith, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. The church at Philadelphia was marked by obedience to Christ. And even though they were small and seemingly insignificant, Jesus commended the church because their leadership and their people were obedient to the commands of Christ and they endured steadfastly. Pastor, it is not about the size of your church or your town. It is about your leadership and your faithfulness to the commands of Jesus Christ. Much like Philadelphia, our churches today are operating in an increasingly hostile environment. We need to learn from the church at Philadelphia. We can do what God is calling us to do, even in the face of cultural opposition and in the midst of spiritual warfare. Now is the time to lead. And from our text today, we learn this. First of all, now is the time to lead, believing and standing. Believing and standing. Jesus declares to the church in verse 7, I have the keys. Now, keys are a symbol of authority. And as the true, holy, resurrected, sovereign Lord, only Jesus has all authority. Jesus reminds everyone that only He is the one true Savior, who is the only door to salvation for the world. And we know this is possible because of what He declared over in Revelation 1:18 when He said, I hold the keys of death and Hades. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus gave Him complete authority over death itself, over the grave, and over hell. We stand on the deep belief that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. This is our hope for eternal life, and this is our message to the entire world. It is the gospel that serves as our keys to the kingdom, and those keys have been given to the church. the gospel, the keys, as Jesus' authority, as doors for evangelism, ministry, and opportunities for gospel advancement. In a world that is becoming darker by the moment, now is the time to lead, believing and standing. The church at Philadelphia believed and stood. They were perceived by their culture as we are perceived by our culture, weak and limited in strength. Jesus told them in verse 8, "You have kept my word." This means that they were holding fast to the word of God. This church was faithful to believe in and to stand on the commands of the Lord. And even through fierce opposition and spiritual warfare, they were faithful to keep God's word. On the word, they stood. Jesus also commends them for not denying his name. They did not retreat due to the intimidation from the Jewish synagogue, but they held fast to the name of Jesus. And because of this, the Bible says they would be protected in future days, and the doors of opportunity would be open to them endlessly. Let me ask you today, will we be faithful in this day of many adversaries and opponents to believe and to stand on the word and to declare Jesus' name? When other denominations and leaders are beginning to relax their message to be more politically correct, will we rise up in faithfulness to believe and to stand on his word and for Jesus' name? You cannot caress or cuddle with the culture and simultaneously believe and stand on God's word and for Jesus' name. From this passage in Revelation, we know that when they were weak in strength, they believed and they stood faithfully for his word and for his name. And when they did, listen to what Jesus told them. Jesus told them, "Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close." When Jesus opens doors, no one and no power can shut the doors, including Satan and hell itself. I want to remind every pastor in here and church leader, the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against the church. Southern Baptists, when we realize our strength is limited without the power of God upon us, when we believe and stand faithfully for the word and for Jesus' name, doors will open for us like we have never seen before. And due to Jesus' sovereignty and power, I want to remind all of us today that there is not one government, not one Supreme Court, not one court case, not one editorial, not one commentator, not one liberal, not one conservative, not one world leader, not one politician, not one radical group, not one demon, or one of anything that can shut the doors that Jesus himself has opened up for his church. Jesus is not only the door to salvation, but Jesus is the overseer of all the doors. Stop seeing the trends and the events as obstacles for us and for the gospel. These are things that God will turn into open doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, the open door represents great opportunities that God gives his people. Southern Baptists, now is the time to lead. We need to believe in and stand on his word and for his name unashamedly and boldly, but always compassionately. We need to hold the word of God in one hand and the love of God in the other hand. And when we do this, the Lord will be faithful to produce open doors even when or if the opposition is fierce.
Wow. Well, we're only halfway through Ronnie Floyd's message, but it's already impossible to ignore his call to action. In the face of national and international unrest and upheaval, despair and hopelessness, Ronnie reminds us that now is the time to lead. Each of us can stand strong on God's word and take his message to a hurting world. You don't want to miss the conclusion of his message, so join us next time as Ronnie Floyd challenges us to be part of the great awakening that America needs. We live in a social media crazed world, don't we? It's almost impossible to browse Facebook without some sort of negative article or image crossing your path. We hear often how people are blessed by the posts they see in their news feeds from us, and we want to invite you to experience the same. If you're looking for helpful tips, inspiring words, and supportive resources, then search Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook and like our page. We'll see you there. This is Dr. Meg Meeker saying God bless you and thank you for listening today. We'll see you again next time for the conclusion of the message from Ronnie Floyd right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.